You will recall that Mrs. Eddy says in Unity of Good, quote, "The more I understand true humanhood, the more I see it to be sinless, as ignorant of sin as is the perfect maker," close quote. Now, this true state of humanhood to which Mrs. Eddy thus refers is a state of consciousness which has been the possession of every one of us at one time. Therefore, at some time, the objectified manifestations of that state of consciousness in each and every one of us must have been harmonious and without error of any nature, except the one error of limitation which made the human body an entity in the existence of each one of us. This I have explained many times before with the use of the last part of the definition of Euphrates in Science and Health. Now, this pure state of humanhood, to which Mrs. Eddy refers as sinless, is that state of consciousness which each one of us must strive to attain or return to through the ministrations of Christian Science. And the journey from our present position of erroneous matter or inharmonious matter to the position of true humanhood or harmonious matter is the journey you and I are now taking. The state of true humanhood to which Mrs. Eddy refers in Unity of Good could not have been wholly bodiless from a material point of view, in view of the fact that it included that one error of limitation to which she refers in her definition of Euphrates in Science and Health. In this definition, as you know, she uses these statements, quote, "The atmosphere of human belief before it accepts sin, sickness, or death. A state of mortal thought, the only error of which is limitation, finity, the opposite of infinity." Close quote. Now, this statement is not made in connection with what she says in Unity of Good as to true humanhood, but taken together, they evidently refer to the identical state of consciousness. And because of the fact that this state of consciousness includes the one error of limitation, or finity, we are bound to the conclusion that this state of true humanhood must include the belief of a human body without any besetting sin, aside from that of limitation. This state of pure humanhood is the state of consciousness to which you and I must return, or which you and I must achieve, before we can accomplish what is commonly known as ascension. That state of true humanhood must be a state of bodily existence without sin, sickness, poverty, or inharmony of any nature. The journey from our present state to that state of humanhood must be the order of salvation, if Christian Science is scientifically explainable. There must be a state of material perfection to which we must attain before our final demonstration can be made. And this state of material perfection is explained and made possible only through the understanding that all the secondary beliefs of human existence, all sin, sickness, poverty, etc., have come to us in proportion as we have sullied our true state of humanhood by the admission of the carnal into consciousness. Thus do we include in our own consciousness that which we see, feel, taste, smell, and hear, all of which constitutes that which we shall someday overcome. So you must realize that the substance, the inharmony, the error which we conceive of as belonging to our brother man, exists in our own consciousness, and must be overcome in our own consciousness. harmony in what we call our outside world, unfolds itself to you and me only as we spiritualize individual consciousness. With the understanding that the material universe is a reversal and counterfeit of the real and spiritual, it will be recognized that just as mortal man includes his universe, so man, in the image and likeness of God, includes his universe of spiritual ideas. Man, God's man, is not an isolated, localized, material manifestation thrust out into a material world with a mind of its own with which he must govern himself. As I said above, the underlying fallacy of material existence is the argument that man has a destiny to work out for himself, and that he has to work out this destiny with a mind of his own. This mind is subject to all sorts of discords and disorders, and is subject to all the claims and activities of error. And mortal man is endowed with an individual responsibility which eliminates the assistance of any higher power from the general scheme of salvation. The helplessness of mortal man lies in the fact that his salvation rests within himself. And there is nothing within mortal man of a higher nature than mortality itself. It is a case of which Mrs. Eddy speaks when she says, quote, "The fountain can rise no higher than its source." Close quote. Mortal man has nothing within himself by which he can rise any higher than his own mortal consciousness will permit. Hence the necessity of God and his Christ in the process of salvation. The man of God's creating is an ideal, and this ideal is maintained by the mind creating it, and not by man himself. Therefore, man, as a child of God, has no responsibility, authority, or independence of his own. Man has nothing to do about his existence or his ultimate. All creation exists and is maintained in mind. The truth about God's man is the truth about you and me. God maintains his own ideal in divine consciousness. Entirely separate and distinct from our present state of seeming mortal existence, you and I exist in the divine consciousness, free, holy, and spiritual now. We have always existed in the divine consciousness, and we always will. In The People's Idea of God, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Even the pangs of death disappear, accordingly as the understanding that we are spiritual beings here reappears, and we learn our capabilities for good, which ensures man's continuance and is the true glory of immortality." Close quote. Speaking spiritually, that divine ideal which is man needs no salvation. Man in God's image and likeness was never thrust out of spirit or born into matter. Mortal man is not God's man gone wrong. He is mortal mind's own mistaken concept of man. To realize for yourself that you are now held in the divine consciousness as a free, complete, and spiritual ideal, and that nothing that you can do or say can change that eternal fact, is endowing yourself with that spiritual consciousness which rules out all error. You have nothing to do with the perpetuation of God's ideal. God maintains his own image and likeness. God is the only author. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says that, quote, mind forms its own likeness, close quote. As there is but one mind, and as mind knows no opposite or no adulteration, there is no other influence then to interfere with the likeness of mind. So you and I do not have to be concerned about healing God's man. God's man needs no healing. What you and I are concerned with is getting out of individual consciousness those impressions which hide from us the true ideal. The ideal exists the same yesterday, today, and forever in its eternal and infinite expression without aid or hindrance from you or me. Nothing can ever interfere with your and my perfect state of existence as an ideal in mind. To realize that we are God's ideal and that God forever maintains that ideal in infinite perfection is to relieve ourselves of any sense of individual responsibility, care, or authority. We hide from ourselves the true concept of our true ideal by conceiving ourselves as personal or individual originators, actors, thinkers, authors, or creators. If we can get the human self out of the way and let God's ideal be manifest in consciousness, then God governs our lives, and we do not have to strive. God outlines and is outlined. God inspires and motivates our every action, and thus we are free from human limitations, mistakes, misguiding, and conniving. Wouldn't existence be wonderful if you and I did not have one single responsibility, if we didn't have to make a living, if we didn't have to plan and scrimp and connive, if we didn't have to outline? Why do we have to do all of these things? Simply because we have shut out the true ideal by thinking that we are independent of God and His government. If we can get to the point where we can see ourselves as God sees us, then we can shift the government to His shoulders. And we will cease, then, to make mistakes, to be in a hurry, to be too late or too early, too slow or too fast, to be weary or in want. And all of this can be realized humanly. The beauty of Christian Science is that we do not have to have reached the ultimate to enjoy the realities of existence on our pathway upward. God maintains man, and therefore man is not self-sustained or self-supported. He is not an isolated, circumscribed personality, thrust out on an uncharted sea of error without a guide or comforter. Through the clear realization that man is God's ideal, maintained and existing right here and now in mind, and not subject to any of the phases of mortality, we can appreciate and appropriate to ourselves the benefits and blessings of the eternal fact that man is God's responsibility. Now, that is not merely a convenient or catchy statement. It is a fact which, when realized and appropriated in individual consciousness, will bring more freedom, peace, calm, and assurance than anything I know.